Welcome to Living a Life by Design. It's the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose with your host, Esther Graham. Did you know your accountability and possibility is by design? God designed a phenomenal life for you, gave you the gift of choice. Esther helps empower you to discover and pursue the purpose that is already in you. Are you ready to look at yourself and see your future? Then get back to what is really important in life and get in alignment with your true self. Stay tuned to Living a Life by Design. Journey back to you and start living 365 days of purpose with your host, Esther Graham. It all starts now.
Hello, hello, hello. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life by Design, the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose. I'm Esther Graham, and I'm so super happy to be with you this afternoon. We have a wonderful guest today, Andrea Jones. Andrea is not only a colleague of mine, but over the past, I believe it's 3 years, we've just really become very, very good friends. And so I'm so excited that she agreed to come on and talk about communication, because I think that she's an expert in communications. Our subject today, or our topic, what we're going to talk about today, is communication failure or success. And since this is Women's History Month, we're really going to focus on what is the difference, the communication styles between men and women. When you leave here today, you're going to have some tools. You're going to say, wait a minute, let me look at how I communicate and how I communicate where I can get to my yes just a little bit faster. So everyone, let's just welcome Andrea Jones.
Aww, hey, thank Andrea. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm great. And I'm pretty excited to be here with you. So, yeah.
Good. I'm going to ask you to reintroduce yourself so everyone could know who you are, how you show up in the world, and everything that you do.
My name is Andrea Jones. I am the Chief Communications Officer for Cardia, which is a Canadian-based company here, well, obviously in Canada. And then my background's been pretty eclectic, like lots of business, marketing, and so on. But for me, I was an Army brat growing up, and
in the Canadian Army,
and I've always wondered why people do what they do. And I think moving around like every 4 years forced me to be adaptable, first of all. But I think I also started to learn how to read people so I could figure out how to fit in. And I think that's where, you know, my love of communication and body language and just trying to, the psychology behind people kind of came into play. And so I've spent the last, more than 30 years really studying kind of into all of those different places to get a better understanding of people.
Yeah. I love what you said, that you've studied it to just get a better understanding of people through communication. You know, years ago when I was employed at a company, one of my supervisors used to always say, communication is so hard. It's so hard, so hard. And I always thought, well, is it really hard, or is it that we don't know how to communicate? So let's begin by just talking a little bit about that. You know, is communication really hard, or is it that we just really don't know how to communicate, let's say, effectively?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's maybe a little bit of both, right? Especially because we can find communication easy with some people and very difficult with other people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And typically with those other people, it's that they have a different communication style than we do. And so what you'll find is somebody will say something and the other person doesn't get it. And somebody says something and they don't get it. And then they say the same thing louder and then louder again. Mm-hmm. It's really about adaptation, right? Like if you can adjust yourself to somebody else's style, you're actually going to get to your end game much faster than if you sort of stay in that one place, just standing your ground and saying the same thing over and over again.
So can you just say that again? If you can adjust yourself to someone else's style, you'll get to where you want. You'll get your yes a little faster instead of you standing your ground. So deep dive into that a little bit, because I know sometimes we think, you know, why do I need to adjust to his style or to her style.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the outcome that you want, right? So if you want to get to a place where you can work together, if you want to get to a place where somebody understands better what you're saying, if you understand what they need in order to receive the information, then that information is going to be received, right? So Esther, I can tell the two of us, very likely, we are both visual learners. Yeah. Both of us wearing super bright clothing. So people give you cues about themselves and their style and what's important to them by, what they wear, what's in the background, what's in the, so you can get cues everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I know that we communicate really well because we don't both talk about what we see. Right. So it's sort of that language. But when somebody else, I have the hardest time with an auditory communication style because I don't have as much in my vocabulary that I use all the time, words that are an auditory sounding. So, an auditory person will say it sounds good. Right. That rings a bell. Right. Whereas a person who's visual will say, oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. And a kinesthetic person will be, oh, that feels good. Right. Like, so they talk about how it feels to them. So if you listen, even if you watch it, look at their emails, those word cues come across. And if we're in tune with it, we can adapt to start talking in ways, just basic ways, that are important to that other person. And that can really help you just start to at least phrase things in a way that makes more sense to that person.
That's so true, because even, whether you're at work or you're on stage or you're doing a speech or training, whatever it is, you really do have to adapt your style to everyone there. So you have to be able to have your words or your communication to where it's meeting the person who says, I see it, or I feel it, or I hear you, the auditory, the kinesthetic, all of that. So interesting, because when it comes to our everyday life, this, knowing someone else's style of communication, it's like so important. I think about, and in relationships, especially, I think about myself and my husband, right? And so implicit, is that the word, implicit or direct communication, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I think about the different styles, and I know that I am very visual, right? Very visual. And I'm also tend to sometimes be, I think I'm a direct communicator, but I'm an implicit thinker. And so sometimes, what you think will come out of your mouth. So I want to give you, as we kind of switch, I want to give you an example of this. My husband brings me coffee every morning, right? And so this particular morning, he didn't do it as yet. And I said, oh, I would really like some coffee. And he was walking out the door and he turned around and he said, why don't you just ask me for the coffee?
Yeah.
Just say, I would like some coffee. And when he said that, I said it, but I laughed and I said, oh, wow. I wasn't direct communicating. And sometimes you don't realize it. And your whole communication with someone could really go awry, and they may not even understand what you're saying. And you're assuming that they do. Why? Because you didn't adapt, or, your communication was off. Does that make sense, what I just said?
It absolutely does. And so men and women do communicate exceedingly differently.
Oh, yeah.
So men definitely, like you're saying, they tend to be more direct. And specific words are very important to help them understand what's being said. Women, on the other hand, we tend to sort of talk around a topic. We often talk to actually work things out in our mind, whereas when a man speaks, typically he's already got it worked out, right? And so he's just telling you exactly what he's already thought about, right? But women need to talk it out. And so, like coming at it, it's super different. just on the overall. So we often don't say exactly like you were saying what we want. We'd be like, oh, look at that Starbucks driving by, and you know, oh, look, there's another, right? And we don't just say, hey, can we just go stop to grab that coffee? Yeah. So for women, it would help men to be much more if we're much more direct, and we actually say what we're thinking, what we're feeling. Now, yeah. The thing is with women, we are so in tune with other people, right? And there's a difference between men and women's brains, actually. So men have 4 to 6 centers in their brain to sort of detect and watch body language. Women have 14 to 16. So we're really good at taking a look at kind of what's going on and reading the situation and knowing, like, if you have somebody you're really close with, you can walk in a room and be like, oh my goodness, she's really off today, right? Yeah. But her husband might be like, no clue whatsoever that something's off, but we're really in tune with the body language. Or if you have 2 guys sitting on a couch together, they're watching a game and they don't say anything at all for like 3 hours, yeah. They will have the best time. But if you have 2 women sitting together on the couch and they're not saying something to each other, there is something serious
going on. Something is definitely wrong. So true.
And it comes out in so many ways, you know, like for men, when something goes wrong in their day, it actually depletes their testosterone. In order for them to reinvigorate that, they actually need to have time alone. For women, when we have stressors during the day, it depletes our oxytocin. And oxytocin is connection. So the way we bring up our oxytocin is to connect with somebody else and start talking. That's why when a guy comes home, he's had a hard day, he'll be like, I just need to go to the room. And a woman's like, oh, if you just talked it out, like, it would be so much better. Like, we'd be okay with it. We just have really different ways that we need to really build ourselves back up and how we communicate. It's kind of amazing that we can live together and function. Actually, there's so many differences.
I just think that's so interesting, as you know, especially with women, that we, you know, we have to talk it out. I know I'm an example of that all the way. If my day isn't going good or something is bothering me, I just need to talk it out. You know, and once I talk it out, I'm good, but I need to talk it out. But when I think about my husband or, you know, my sons, it's like, yeah, you know, they're like, no, how was your day? It was good. And I don't want to talk. And they'll just, I know my husband, he just needs to sit quietly by himself. And I'm like, I need to talk. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, Andrea, and we'll be right back to continue this particular conversation. We'll be right back, everyone.
Hi, I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. We are with Andrea Jones, and we're going to continue our conversation on the difference with how men communicate and women communicate. So let's deep dive some more, because honestly, when we're finished with this podcast, I really want us to have something, some type of tool to where we could say, you know what, this is how I communicate. It's going to be a time of enlightenment, or, you know, this is how I communicate, and this is how I could communicate better or more effectively. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Especially like if you've got a significant other, you've got a spouse, or you're in the work environment, you know, and we're in environments where we're working with men and women, and how we communicate is so important. It's so important. And it could really, let's say, make or break you. It could also make or break a relationship, no matter what type of relationship that is. It's either success or failure. And we all have we all can be successful in how we communicate when we just learn how everyone else is communicate, when we can just read them, let's say.
Exactly. And I think all the problems of the world really come down to communication, right? Like, it's a miscommunication somewhere. And again, like when we think about men and women in the workplace, again, we have very different styles in the way we approach things, like from where we sit to how we sit, to the way that we show up. So women, women tend to head tilt a little bit more. Right. So head tilting, what it does is, first of all, it makes you look friendlier. Right. When you head tilt. So if I'm straight on, right, and I smile, but the head tilt makes it just a little bit softer. And what's happening is when you head tilt, it actually opens up the side of your neck. Right. So it's a vulnerable position to put your head in, and you will not head tilt if you feel threatened. Okay. So you actually have to be comfortable. So when you see what you'll see with women when they communicate is they'll often head tilt and nod quite a bit. Men tend to be very straight up. Again, they're very direct, but they don't tend to head tilt as much, right, as women do. Sometimes they do. Actually, Bill Clinton was very good with that. When he would talk to people, he would create great rapport, and you would watch, like, he would head tilt. He was masterful with body
language.
You have
to pay attention to that. Google and look at him. Yeah. It's interesting.
But yeah, so men will stay very straight up and very still, and often, like, no expression. They'll just look at you, right? So for women, that's difficult because we're always sending visual cues, right? And receiving, but we all do. And you know, we believe body language 100%. We don't believe what everybody says, but we believe body language 100%. Right. So that's why it's so important to take a look at it. But so men come across as being more confident, right? So it's not a vulnerable position. They tend to stand, like, straight up, right? Look straightforward, depending, you know, on the situation that they're in. Men tend to take up more space than women do as well, which is a sign of dominance, actually, in the workplace. So if you're a woman and you're not getting the interaction, maybe, or the recognition that you want to have, sometimes you want to take a look at how you're talking as well. So a really great example is I was coaching with a woman who was dealing with, I think it was like three alpha males, basically. Like, they're very good at what they did. They were very confident in what was happening in their business. And she was hired to give them a social media plan. And she came to me, and she, like, was an hour before their next meeting. And she was like, Andrea, they won't listen to what I say. Like, I keep saying the same things over. I've given the documentation. I've shown them why, like, they need to do this. Like, it's fully back. She's excellent at what she does. So there's a few things that happen, though, with her when she communicates. The first thing is she inflects upwards, like everything is a question. So one of the things she was saying is they keep giving me feedback. So there are three things going on with that. So she would talk up with her inflection. She would hold her hands open when she was talking. So when we hold our hands open, that's actually a give me more information, like I'm asking a question, right? We hold our hands down. It's a much more powerful position. And it means like there's no questions. Right. So, and so when she would go and talk to these guys, she was talking in this upward inflection, and she's also holding her hands open. So there are cues that she's sending to say, I'm asking for more information from you. And so when we worked on that, so we had her go in, I got her to be very specific about the outcome that she wanted to have. That's first of all, like we need to know exactly what is it we want from this situation. And we don't always take the time to go, okay, well, what do I actually want from this meeting? So she was very clear. She knew that she wanted them to accept what she had in. And so I coached her on making sure that she wasn't inflecting upwards and asking a question, and that her hands were down as she was talking, so that she's saying like, this is the plan that we need. So this is the plan that we need, right? Like, and that upward, so it doesn't sound as confident, right? And then we talked about her just taking up more space, more showing more wider stance body language, which shows confidence, right? And then when you talk in statements, that shows confidence as well, but it also shows competence, right? So we want to work with people who are both confident and competent. Usually warm as well, right? So when she did that, she went into that meeting and she called me directly after the meeting. She was so excited, and she's like, they accepted everything.
Good.
No questions.
Getting to your yes no answer.
Exactly. And so sometimes we need to just take a look back and go, okay, is there something that I'm doing that's relaying that I am not confident or competent in a situation, right? So if we can talk really clearly, actually, when we talk, I talk with my hands a lot. It's actually a sign that you understand your stuff so well that you can communicate on two levels. So not only am I saying something to you, but my body language is also backing it up. So if you're a speaker and you're talking, if you're standing in front of somebody, even in a work situation, and you're talking and you're able to say, like, there are two things that I need you to know about this situation, right? But the first one is, and you talk about it and your body language backs it up, it really shows more that you know that your stuff. So competence, right? And when you say it without asking a question all the time, it sounds like so much more confident and you know what you're talking about. So if you're not feeling like you're getting that recognition at work, it may be a communication issue. It could also be the workplace issue, right? Like, yeah, you can work with people who are just not great people, right? That is helpful for sure to know, at least know that, and to see, are you sitting in a position? Like, actually, Esther, the position that you're in right now with your hands, that steepling, is actually a confident position. And you'll notice that men will sit at a table and they'll steeple quite a bit, right? And that's what that's called. So when we're in this position, it's like, I know my stuff, I'm very confident, right? It's taking up more, like you see the elbows, right? And so it's showing, it's sending signals all the time that you're very comfortable with what you're doing.
That's amazing, because I didn't know that either. But you know, we've talked about the color and how you can tell how a person, the type of communicator they are, just from the colors and the clothes that they wear. So interesting. We've gone into, you know, how men and women, the implicit, the direct, and how there's so much communication between men and women, and the body language, how you move, how you tilt your head. And I guess, you know, communication is so massive and yet so deep. I think, you know, my podcast is what? Life by Design. I think this is how God just has really designed us to be these, honestly, these great communicators. We're great communicators. We just have to learn the type of communicator we are and how the type that others are and how to communicate. And I love what you say to get to your yes faster. Who doesn't want to get to their yes faster? It does make it easier when we understand communication and how to communicate. I'm not saying that you got to go and study and do this, but maybe looking at, you know, just looking at really how you communicate. I think that I know sometimes that when I communicate, I move really fast sometimes. And when I'm really talking fast, I know that's when I'm nervous. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll just talk. And sometimes I just want to get it over with and boom, 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 and boom. And so in communication, when I'm nervous, I have to really take that time and tell myself, slow down, because I know what I'm talking about. I know what I want to say. I'm just, I don't know, nervous for whatever the reasons may be. Also, and you could maybe talk about this. I'm also thinking in my mind, I really want people to understand what I'm saying. I just really like to be a very clear communicator. I have, you know, I don't want you to misunderstand, because then if you misunderstand, then I'm asking, you know, what did I do? I have a saying, however, I'm responsible for what I say and you're responsible for what you hear.
So that's an interesting thing, because which I might challenge a little bit, is because your communication is only as good as what's received.
Ah.
Right? Now, what I love about what you said is we have the the onus is on us to listen in a conversation. Most often what people do is they're nodding and they're thinking about what they're going to say next. Right?
Okay.
Rather than being truly in a conversation.
Very present.
And so, but for us, if we are saying something and the other person's not receiving it, that's where we need to go and get a little curious about, like, okay, what's actually going on? Where am I being missed? What's happening that this person isn't picking up what I'm putting down, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where we might want to take that step back and go, okay, what's actually going on? Like, where are you missing me with this? You know, without being snarky about it. We're in this, right? So, like, we want to try to figure out where is the miscommunication going astray. And I find this happens in work situations a lot, because we think we're on the same page with somebody. And I bet you everybody has an example of this, right? Where you talk to somebody, you've agreed, you think you're on the same page, you walk away, and that person comes back with something that's totally different than what you thought you talked about. Like, so for me, my husband used to be a chef, and he wanted me to go and pick up chicken because he was making this dish. So in my head, and he wanted chicken thighs. So I was thinking boneless, skinless chicken thighs, but the recipe actually called for bone in, right? And so I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, got the chicken thighs. And he's like, excellent, she's got the chicken thighs. I get home, I got the wrong thing, right? And it's so we think we're on the same page, but we're not. Like, and another example is if I just said the word grandmother to you,
yeah,
we all have different pictures that come in our heads. For people who had an excellent relationship with their grandmother, that might feel really good to them. They might picture that. Somebody else might picture the grandmother from Bugs Bunny, right? Somebody else might picture somebody who was a grandmother figure to them. And somebody who never had a grandmother might not really have sort of that image or that feeling from them at all. Yeah. So when we say that, we're coming at it from very different angles, very different feelings. And we assume that the other person, feels the same way, thinks the same way, has the same, right? And I think sometimes we're like, oh, I know that person doesn't really, but often when we're communicating, we think that we're, like I said, on that same page, but because we have so different experiences.
That's what I was just about to say, is that from what I understand, what you're saying is that many times we communicate through the lenses of our own experience.
Always.
You know? And so it's just like the thighs, you know, the chicken thighs, like, but yeah. And, you know, when you think about it, you see this all the time in our everyday life, that we're communicating, even within your family, right? You're communicating through the lenses of your own experience. And so if we're communicating through the lenses of our own experience, then how is it that we could communicate to where you have a different experience and I have a different experience? How can we come together in communicating to where we understand where the other what the other person is saying and where they're coming from?
For sure. And I think family dynamics are really interesting in that way, because we think that that other person knows us so well, they should just know where we're coming from, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so even in like identical twins have different experiences in life. So some of that, I think when we need to communicate with people, I mean, right when you're in the middle of an argument is not the time to try to figure out really.
Like, definitely not.
Yeah. It's really, you know, thinking about it, like you can think about your siblings or your children or your spouse right now and start to think about those differences and then get curious. I think curiosity is our greatest tool. Because like if somebody wants you to do something and you don't want to do that thing, or you don't understand really why they think it's better, like, That's a great question. You know, I'm really curious, like, what is it about the way that you want to do this that makes you think that it's so much better? Like, what's more effective? Help me to understand, right? And so, you know, if we start from the, you know, I don't understand, like, I'm really curious, yeah. How did you get there? Like, what would be important to you in this situation, you know, to try to understand, to try to get better understanding of things, that curiosity can really help so much more, instead of A, assuming that we understand what's happening, or B, just being super frustrated by the situation, and just sort of walking away angry. Right. And so I think those things are, it's important to sort of do ongoing. It's kind of like if you're anxious, yeah. Trying to do deep breathing in the middle of an anxiety or a panic attack isn't going to help you. But if you do that during the day and you practice it all the time, you start to notice, start to listen for cues that might tell you what's important. Look around and see. So like, We like I said, we give so much information. So even if you look at my background, so you can see my bookshelves, you can tell what's important to me, and you could make a connection with me by just looking at my background. Yeah. So first of all, you can see over here, like these are my children and my family, the pictures of my family. That tells you that A, my family is important to me, but very likely people are important to me. And then the other thing that you can see behind is all the books. I love books. It's not hoarding if it's books, in my opinion. But but you also know from this that probably information is important to me, right? Yeah. So if we know those things, I can approach something in a different way, right? So if I know information is important, then am I providing you the information you need? Is there something missing in that that's lacking in the understanding? Can I make a better connection with that person, you know, at the office by talking about their kids first? If you see the pictures around, there are some people who that is like such a waste of time. If they're a really direct person, they don't want to talk about their family. They just want to get in, get out, get the information they need, right? So some of it is you need to know, and you'll know, right? Like if they're giving you quick nods, if they're giving you the,
you'll know,
right?
You'll know.
Straight up, right? So so don't kind of waste your time. But if you get the slow nod and somebody is leaning in and listening, they're wanting you to tell them more. So it's interesting to think about. And we're, like I said, we're giving those cues all the time. If we take the time to actually tune into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we'll do so much better.
Exactly. I think that's key. Taking the time to cue in to the cues that, that others are giving you. And then you'll know how to communicate, or you'll become a better communicator. Right? A better communicator. So we're going to take a quick break, everyone, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about how culture affects our communication as well. We've talked about everything else. Let's talk, because even culture, men and women, still so different when you're adding another layer to our communications. So stay tuned, stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Creator of your own healthy life with the most unbeatable connected weight loss experience through Impact Remote Academy. You will get a customized 6-month program that is fat loss focused with simple to follow step-by-step instructions, Zoom coach support, and access to the Academy website tools and community. Because weight loss is hard and you deserve the best support. Look no further. Everything you need for weight loss success is accessible through Impact Remote Academy Kit and Support. This is your healthy journey to permanent weight loss, and we're going to give you the keys to unlock your inner power and optimal health through clean eating and self-love. The No More Rules gals, Steph Yost and Camille Barreto, are here to help you recognize self-sabotaging patterns and develop healthy lifestyle habits. Explore yourimpactwellness.com for all the details. That's yourimpactwellness.com. And remember to live your life with impact.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I am with Andrea Jones. Andrea is in what part of Canada are you, Andrea?
I'm in Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah, where it's really cold. Is it cold today?
It's starting to warm up, but we're at zero today, so it's cold. Yeah,
and you guys have started spring like we have as well, right?
A little bit. I saw a friend of mine actually posting pictures of like just the little tulip buds poking through the. So it's trying here. It's really trying
here as well. I mean, I think it's spring on the books. But not in actuality. So that's where we are. Of course, we're not as cold as you are. But let's just talk. Let's continue our conversation about communication, because this is really so, so juicy. Let's talk about culture. I want to bring up culture because we've talked about men and women. So, you know, my husband, he's from the United States, but I'm not originally from the United States. And of course, how we communicate. Now we've been married for 35 years, so we're like way better at the communication. But I remember when that communication was really different, not only man, woman, right? Culture, how we were brought up differently, not just because of family dynamics, but because of culture. And I have to tell you, I could not understand his communication style or his family's when it came to how they culturally communicated, if that makes sense. Because I think it's, you know, it's funny because you could think of culture in two parts. It could be culture, like where you're from, but yet it could be also the culture of your family, which is a part of where you're from, but yet very different. So can we talk about that, just how your culture affects how you communicate just overall and how it just, you know... Yeah, just how you communicate over.
Every culture is very different. Like even when you take a look at different states, right, in the United States or different provinces in Canada, there are different things, even just within a country, that are very different, right? Like it might be just the words. Like I remember when I always called my runners, right? Like when I put up, but when I moved to Newfoundland, they always called them sneakers. And then when I did some work in British Columbia, there they called them go fasters, which was hilarious, right? So it can be very
go fasters.
You put on your runners and you go faster, right?
So, okay,
just good, right? So we always have these like little differences, but when we look country to country, there's huge differences, right? Like In North America, we're very much about individualism, right? It's how we show up as individuals. It makes it very different, right? But other cultures are more about the relationship. It's more about, you know, the bigger picture of how we come together. Yeah, and so like a friend of mine is from Mexico, and she found it so difficult when she came here because it wasn't the same way in showing up. And another friend of mine she's from Quebec, and she was talking about this recently. It's like in Quebec, you kiss people on the cheeks, like you kiss everybody. So when you meet them, like when you come into the house with your family, you kiss them on both cheeks, and when you leave, before you leave, you kiss them on both cheeks. And then when she moved out west, like nobody kissed each other, nobody like touched each other. Like there's so many differences in cultures. So if you are traveling, my suggestion is to really do a lot of research into the culture, right? Like if you're going to Japan, there are certain things that show respect that you want to be aware of, and certain things that are super disrespectful that might be a very normal part of our culture, but that they wouldn't appreciate. So it's really important to understand those things and research those things, especially if you're traveling.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to cultures and families, it's super different, right? Like and same thing in businesses too, right? We all have different cultures, and it kind of comes down to what's acceptable. And this is where, you know, Ezra, I know that you do a lot of work in this area. We've talked a lot about this, where when you are in a family dynamic, and this is probably where you're seeing these differences, is like what's acceptable.
Yes.
And like, what are the sort of non-negotiable standards? What are not acceptable?
So like that, non-negotiable standards. Yeah.
Exactly. So what's okay? Even the same in your relationships, right? Yeah. Like what's the culture of your relationship? And I was actually talking to my kids about this the other day. It's like, you should really sit down and figure out what are the non-negotiable standards for that relationship when you communicate. So if something goes wrong, what's okay and what's not okay? So like in my household, when we play cards, it's okay to swear. Okay. So it's okay. But if somebody's angry, like my kid is, it's okay if he swears at me, if I like trump him and I steal his trick. Right. Yes. So it is not okay for him to swear at me if we are in an angry situation. And he would never do that. Like both my boys, super, super, and my daughter too, super respectful of that, right? So what are those, right? What are the lines that we're allowed to cross? So when you take a look at family dynamics, like my ex's family, it was a crazy different dynamic than mine. It was not supportive. It was very much like calling each other names, like things that just made me feel really sick inside. Right. And I would never treat my family in that way. But for some families that's acceptable. So when you're coming into a family, you have this dynamic, and this is like super different for you in the way that your family, you know, interacted, even if there's like the difference between being an only child and having one sibling, five siblings, like there's a completely different dynamic in there. And that actually creates a lot of different ways that we show up, whether we're like a middle child or, you know, like there's so many different things that affect the personality and certainly affect the communication.
I know for my husband and I, we, you know, again, it's two different cultures coming together, and not just family dynamics, but, you know, cultures. And so we just really had to come together and really blend both communication styles or, you know, within the culture so we can understand. And I remember at the beginning, there's some things I didn't understand. Well, why did they say, or how did you communicate? And he didn't understand. And so, you know, we would just kind of go through those things. But what we realized that, you know, respect was most important. You know, so you were speaking about, you know, when you guys are playing games, it's okay to swear. So like in our family, this is our immediate family with our children. You can say anything you want to say, just as long as you say it to me respectful. You don't have to like what I'm saying, but just be respectful when you're telling me. And that's something that we came together and said, okay, respect. Well, really, in both of our cultures, respect was important, but how you showed respect and what you said in your respect was very different. I'll give you an example. It's just so small, but he was always brought up. You say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, right? Communication. And if you didn't say that, you didn't show that you were respectful. I couldn't ever understand that. I'm like, why would you say yes, ma'am? For me, it's like, that makes no sense. And so he would say, the kids need to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I would say, why? You know, because in my culture, we don't say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. We're going to say yes, Andrea, right? Or if you're the aunt, yes, auntie, yes, uncle, yes, you know, and so on. We would actually say the name. Not yet. And so for, listen, I have to tell you, I'm laughing now. That was, listen, that was the point of always, like, because I was always, that, and I would say to him, they're not military. Because in my mind, communication, that's what the military, and he's, of course, retired military. And so in my mind, that's military. That's, they're not in the military. You are, not them. And I just really used to get like really frustrated with what he was making them do. But then I began to understand, which takes me back to what you said earlier, is that it is necessary, y'all, if you don't get anything out of this conversation, it is necessary for us to understand the communication style of the other person for us to get to our yes faster, for that communication to be effective. And so if we all take that on, think about this. If we all take that on to where we all have made a decision, let me understand this person's a communication style. Wouldn't this be a better world, no matter what our culture is, what our differences are, whether we're male or female or anything? Because going back, again, I'm looking at culturally, that was where our struggle was in our communication, right? Is that we just communicated differently, difference culturally. Even with my family, he couldn't understand some of my family and how they communicate. They, besides them, you know, him literally sometimes not understanding.
Yes.
But I mean, do you understand? I mean, when he couldn't understand, and I couldn't understand a lot on his side of the family either. And so what we had to do was understand. I had to understand his culture and how he was brought up, the culture. He's from the South, the Southern culture, and then his family dynamics in communication. And then he had to understand mine and then accept it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Accept it and be able to put the two together. And since we've done that, it's been wonderful. And we communicate that. And so what do my children do? They say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And they may also say, yes, Andrea. You understand? It's just a blending of the two because there's really nothing wrong with either one. Mm-hmm. But having an understanding of that communication and what that means is what really brought us together in our communication styles. Does that make sense?
For sure.
Long dissertation, y'all, but
for sure. Story. It's a good story. What I love about it is how you solved it, right? And so both of you came together to figure out what was important to both of you. Where's the common ground in this?
Exactly.
And respect. I know respect is really important to both of you. And when you take a look at like his military career, that would have been really, really reinforced in that.
Yeah.
And so
we
do have to take a look at our work experience as well as the family experience, you know, what shows up in that. But I think also to understand yourself, understand as a couple, like the things that you value also affect the way that you communicate. And if you as a couple or as a friend or siblings can come together and figure out, okay, well, what's important to you both in this dynamic? I am a big proponent of figuring out what your values are, because that helps you make decisions. It helps you to understand why you're being really upset. Why are you being triggered
in this situation,
right? And so for me, when I have been most triggered, it's when my value for belonging, it has been impacted. So as an Army brat, right, belonging was really important as I moved into new locations to try to figure out, how do I fit in? How do I belong? And so therefore, it's one of my most emotional triggers at the same time. And so when we understand that, then we can approach things differently. You can have a different conversation when you understand what the trigger is within that. And whether it's a cultural, whether it's an experience, whether it's, you know, just personally how you feel about something, the more you understand about yourself and what's important to you truly as a person, what's non-negotiable for you? Where are you willing to stretch boundaries in a certain way, right? That it helps you to, first of all, understand what your personal parameters are, but it also gives you ways to talk to people about it. And I love that you came together and figured out, okay, one of the values that your family would have is respect. And that's huge, right? So what are your common ground? Like, you can have couples who come from, you know, opposites attract, right? The one of the key factors for those couples staying together is common value systems.
That's us.
And, yeah. And so if you have the common values, then you're able to work through it. But if you have very different value system and you come from different cultures or you have different ways of showing things, you're probably not going to be able to connect as easily or maybe even put the effort in, you know, to figure
and really, it out. That's what we had to come up with our non-negotiables, because, you know, he's quiet and just, and I'm like, woo, you know, I'm like, you know, and so, and he's like, and so, you know, and so we're, and we have such different communication styles, but yet we can come together and communicate to where we understand each other. And when we don't, guess what? We actually say, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah. I mean, but it's taking a lot of years to get to that, right?
Oh, it's not, this isn't an overnight, this is like, oh, well, you know, and what we're sharing with you today, while it's so important, this isn't something that's overnight, especially if you've never thought about this or really looked at your communication style in depth. You know, that's what happens, by the way, you brought up going to another country. Many times we go to another country and we expect for them just to be like us, and we expect for them to communicate. And I do a lot of retreats, and we go out of country many times. And I always say, don't forget, you're not in America. That the people there, they communicate differently, their culture is different. And you now, because you're going to where they are, need to understand how they communicate, what their value system is, so you can blend in, or not necessarily blend in, but be able adapt to communicate. Yes, that's the word. Thank you. Adapt to who they are. And whether it's through sign language or smiling or whatever, right? You need to adapt, not they adapt to you, you know? Yeah. And so, but that's what we really had to do. You know, we had to learn to adapt, because this is a relationship, to each other. And so we have to adapt to them as well, right? So I tell you, we've just got a few minutes left. I want you to share how people can connect with you, and then just give us some wisdom. Let's give our audience some words of wisdom from you. What can they do from this point?
For sure. Well, you can find me on iamandreajones.com. So I-A-M, andreajones.com. Really words of wisdom. I just think really figure out what you can do and how you can cue in to other people and start just really listening. Listening. That's the key to communication. Listening.
Yeah. Listening. Yeah. Very good. Very good. This has just been such a juicy conversation. The time has gone by so fast. Andrea and myself, we've got some free products for you. So if you go on the website, you can click down. Andrea's got a really great article. What is it called again?
The quick guide to speed reading people.
The quick guide to speed reading people. You got to get it. It's very good. It's going to speak about some of the cues that we've talked about today. And of course, you could also click on my website and get created for more. I am so excited that you all have joined us today. Andrea, this has been a wonderful conversation. So glad that you said yes to coming on. Yes to coming on. This has been powerful. We just have a few minutes left. And so, guys, I hope that you take this next few minutes and just celebrate yourself for being here with us today and begin to look at your communication style. How can you communicate more effectively? What are your non-negotiables in communication? Take care and God bless you.
You have been listening to Living a Life by Design, the journey back to you, and Living 365 Days of Purpose with host Esther Graham. Listen or watch live every second and fourth Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Discover that what is possible is already in you. God designed a phenomenal life for you. Esther helps you ignite that energy behind your personal journey for a deeper joy and peace, living 365 days of purpose. For more information on Living a Life by Design, visit fddwomen.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.